Entrepreneurs on the move, reshaping life for a better tomorrow.
This is your girl, Carla B., and you are tuned in to the E-Buzz.
E-Buzz.
Everybody Hates Chris, Master Mix, and many more. BET is also famously known for their featured blog sites such as Spotlight, What the Flick, Stay Tuned, Head Over Heels, Sound Off, and a wide variety of others. So the next time you're flipping through your channels, tell a friend to tell a friend about BET and BET's video library. Also, don't forget to catch the countdown on 106 in Park with Roxy and Terrence. Do you want your chance? You feel as if you got what it takes? Or just want to read and catch up on BET News? Tune in to www.bet.com or send your thoughts and opinions through mail to BET Network, 1235 W Street, Northeast, Washington, D.C., 20018-1211, or phone BET Network at 202-608-2000. This commercial was brought to you by EOTM Radio and Classic City Records.
Procom Voices is your complete resource for finding professional voiceover talent for all types of projects. Radio and TV, Flash, corporate video narrations, and more. Here's what sets Procom apart. We give you fast access to professional voice talent from all across the country. Actors and actresses who are handpicked by Procom and experienced in bringing copy to life. And you direct your voiceover session live, by phone, as it's happening, so you can be sure of the results. Start by searching our online talent demos broken down into convenient categories. Or call our casting experts for helpful advice in finding the perfect voice. Once you've chosen one or more voice talents, simply submit your script and book your talent online. Or just call us, toll free. At session time, you'll be connected to Procom by phone patch. Listening in on your session, you'll have the ability to interact with the voice talent you've cast and direct them yourself. Try multiple styles, hear playback, and request editing from your Procom producer to craft the perfect read. We can even connect directly to your favorite local studio via ISDN. Once you're satisfied with your recording, your files are immediately uploaded to our secure FTP site in the format you request, and you're sent a link by email. Procom Voices, top quality voiceovers. Simple, fast, and affordable. Contact us today to get started.
Welcome back to the E-Buzz, y'all. It's Friday night, and guess what? You are here with me, and I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. Nevertheless, I am here. I'm here with you, and you're here with me, and it's a beautiful thing, right? You are, if you're just tuning in, I'm Carla B., and tonight I will be continuing my series of shows on the Black Boule with the Boule Files. Our phone lines will be open, as well as our chat room, so please join us. Our studio line is 718-664-6543, 718-664-6543, and you can stream live to EOTMradio.com. As most of my loyal listeners know, I am a little bit of a conspiracy theorist. I've done numerous shows on the Illuminati and the implications of Illuminati and hip-hop, as well as the Boule, also known as Sigma Pi Phi. Now, before we go any further, I'd like to put out a quick disclaimer. The thoughts and beliefs of me, Carla B., does not necessarily reflect the thoughts and opinions of EOTM Radio Networks and its affiliates. second up, I got a lot of announcements and stuff as we get into the show. But second up, I like to actually retract a couple of my statements from my last show on the Illuminati. It was well over a year ago, but I do have to retract a couple things, actually several things were said that are not true or have not been proven. Starting off the statement as to the Boule being on HBCU college campuses, I found out that that is not true. The Boule is not a college-level frat, but a graduate organization. Also, I've done a couple of different shows on the hip-hop Illuminati, and we talked about Jay-Z and Lil Wayne and The Game and all them guys possibly being part of the Boule. And once again, they're not. You must be a college graduate who's also pledged a college fraternity. And as most of us know, that Jay-Z, Lil Wayne, The Game, they don't have any kind of college education. It was also said that Obama may be Boule, according to some new information that I was luckily to push my way. Someone pushed it my way. Actually, one, the guest on our show shared a lot of great information with me. And so I will say this, Obama is not Boule. Again, you have to be in a black fraternity, which most of us know Obama is not. So got all that stuff out the way. Thank you for your patience. And without further ado, I want to welcome my guest for tonight. He is a free thinker, author, entrepreneur, man of many hats. Definitely opened my mind to a lot of things that I did not know in regards to the Boule. I want to welcome, and I'm going to try to pronounce his name correctly. If I don't, I know he'll fix it for me. But I want to welcome Mbebe. I'm sorry, I said it wrong. Go ahead and say your name for me.
It's all right.
I just got all tongue-tied.
It's all right. It's Mbebe. Mbebe Ashangi.
Oh, my God. So you said it so great. Welcome to the show.
I should
Welcome
be right
to
now.
The show.
Right. Thank you.
Right.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks.
Right. Yes, sir. Well, before we dive into our discussion, if you can share with our listeners a little bit more about you.
Okay. Well, first, I definitely want to thank you. I'd like to say a little something before I even begin running my mouth, which I tend to do, and that is to first give thanks to Energy, which is my name for God, and our ancestors, for without them, we wouldn't know who we are nor where we come from. And I also give thanks to all the African-centered scholars whose shoulders I stand on and our future youth who will continue to work in liberating the African diaspora from the effects of global white supremacy and reforming back to self-reliance and independence. A little bit about me. I'm, as you mentioned, I kind of wear several hats by trade. I'm a web developer, graphic designer, writer, author. I've been publishing my own magazine. It's a Pan-African-centered magazine entitled The Ghetto Times and also theghettotimes.com since 1993.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thanks. Thank you. And, you know, from that, the reason why it actually happened wasn't, you know, I didn't go to school for writing. In fact, I got D's and F's in college writing. But what got me was really just being exposed to information about our history, the stuff that you won't learn in school, the stuff that they're trying to hide from you. And from learning that in a sort of rebellious way, I felt it was necessary that I not only go out and share what I've learned, first being just, you know, talking to people in the street, but in addition, targeting my demographic, and that being African people, particularly that's why the magazine is called The Ghetto Times, because that's where most of us dwell, is in the ghetto. This is information that most of us in the ghetto will never receive. So I figured, you know, rather than try to keep this information geared towards the quote-unquote talented 10th, and as we'll talk, I'll tell you about what they've been doing, is that, you know, the real information, this information is especially needed for people in the streets. And in doing so, that's been blessed to have been doing this almost 20 years. And, you know, 20 years later, I'm feeling very strong and positive about the type of information that we put out. We deal with pretty much the areas, the 10 areas of people activity that Neely Fuller and Doctors Neely Fuller and Francis Kress Wilson talks about, which are economics, education, entertainment, labor law, politics, sex, religion, and war, and a new field is health. These are 10 areas that we find that global white supremacy operates on in controlling the world. So if you can control entertainment, if you can control education, you pretty much got a lock on the planet. And that's, and we can see that they've been doing that pretty well for quite a while now. So that's the focus of what we do, is to enlighten our people and move ourselves on to the next level of physical manifestation of the information that we're taking in.
Wow. Thank you for that. Thank you for that. That was definitely a lot. And, again, my hats are off to you because you're doing to say that you've been even writing and keeping your website of information up for so many years, that definitely shows your dedication when it comes to what you really believe in. So, again, kudos to you on that. I want to definitely dive in. I want to, before I do that, I want to, again, mention our studio line number. It is 718-664-6543, 718-664-6543. You could definitely feel free to call in and share your thoughts in regards to what I will say as well as my guest. I want to definitely dive in right now. So I took a look at your website, and before I ask the question, I want you to go ahead and share your website, considering there's so much great information in regards to our topic. So our listeners, if they are near a computer, they can definitely go to your site as reference. You want to share that?
Sure. Santa Shana. My website is theghettotimes.com. That's DAGHETOTYMZ.com. That's theghettotimes.com. If you go to that page, on the home page, there's a search index where you can type in Boulé, B-O-U-L-E, and that will bring you to our Boulé series, where we have currently four parts of the series that we've written so far. I'm actually working on part five now. TheGhettoTimes.com is the site, and let's get it in. Let's go.
Yeah, I'm about to post a link in our chat room for our listeners, so it'll definitely be there in a second. Okay, so let's go ahead and just open it up with some of your reasons behind this mission that you have in regards to exposing the Boulé. You want to share us the reason behind that?
Sure. First, I want to start out by quoting George D.M. James. It's an infamous quote, which is, "Greek mythology is stolen African history." And also, I must give pay homage to Brother Steve Coakley, because he is the brother that is responsible for even allowing for us to really talk about the Boulé today. I mean, he exposed them back in 91, and he's a master scholar, researcher on the Boulé, and he's been putting out information, very accurate information, for a long time now. And I think that he doesn't get the respect that he needs and deserves, but I do want to pay homage to him. Other thing I want to say is, when we're studying information, especially when we're talking about history, we must do as Asa Hilliard said, that we should study history in chronological order. And what that means is, when you're studying history, it isn't that you just start, for instance, when you want to start about the origin of man. You know, most people think, well, okay, let me just start with the Bible because it says in the beginning. Well, in the beginning is not a date. It's not telling you exactly when. So when you're studying history, doing it in chronological order not only gives you a time stamp of when, but also lets you see what else is going on during that time period. So my fixation this evening is going to be dealing with the time period of the first decade and a half of 1900. We find that over that span, we found the origin of some historical black organizations, one being Sigma Pi Phi, a.k.a. the Boulé, which was founded May 15, 1904. And in the years between 1906 and 1922, we found the founding of four fraternities and four black sororities and black fraternities between the periods of 1906 and 1922. Also, in 1909, we found the origin of the NAACP, the National Association for the Advancement of Certain People.
Wow.
And we also see that on September 29th of 1910, we have the founding of the Urban League. Now, these are fundamental and foundational organizations for which we find that the reason of these findings or the reason why a lot of African people to this day don't realize that they're African, okay? Some of these organizations are secret societies, and they're vowing as oath takers never to reveal what they know, and others are societies of secrets, like the Masons, who are bound to acknowledge anyone if they come up to them and can stand on the square. I also say this always as well for those listeners. These organizations are much older than 99% of us. And of that 99%, most don't even know why they were truly founded and what historical alliances they've entertained with enemies of African people. So it's not a coincidence that in 2011, we have more collegiate graduates than ever, yet still don't have more than a few African-owned businesses, little to no technological or industrial empires, as well as no type of trade, import, and export models in place, even though, ironically, most of the world's natural raw elements come out of Africa. So why is that? You know, it all dates back to this first two decades of 1900s, where we have the birth of black organizations that's been proven to be more detriment in aiding the delay of our African liberation. So let's start out with Sigma Pi Phi, the Boule. You know, this is the first black fraternity in America. It's not a collegiate fraternity, but it's a professional fraternity, and it was founded, again, as I said, May 15, 1904, in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, by six gentlemen. One of them, Dr. Henry McKee Minton, was a key founder. He owned the first black drugstore in the United States. And the word Boule, it means advisor to the king. And let me just preface this too, Carla. If you need to jump in, because I just start going and I keep rolling.
Oh yeah,
rolling. So
yeah.
Yeah,
you can go ahead and make your points.
Okay, cool. So Boule is Greek, Latin rather, and it means advisor to the king, and which is the lower house of the Greek parliament. So all Sigma Pi Phi members of the Boule are college-degreed upper-class bourgeoisie house Negroes, thoroughly indoctrinated into being better than the rest of us so-called underclass, what I call field Africans. So this house Negro field African theory is still alive today. And they refer to themselves as the inner circle of our race, and their mission is to perpetuate a lie that Greece gave the world civilization, cutting us off from our true heritage, using college degrees, money, job opportunities as a testament to their power opposed to community culture and history. So therefore, as you mentioned, you know, Jay-Z and Lil Wayne and any other rapper, they're not Boule. They can't, I mean, that's not to say that eventually they won't allow that to happen, but to this day, as far as what I've found, the requirements to be in the Boule is you must be a collegiate graduate and you must be a part of a fraternity. You must have pledged and crossed a fraternity. So the problem is that we have people today out taking the work of what Coakley has done. And I'm going to name one particular gentleman. I don't have a personal beef with him, but my issue with Bobby Hemmett is that he tries to put out the allegation that the Boule is a gay organization.
Yeah, I've heard that.
You know, and it's not a homosexual fraternity. It's a Greek-based frat, an allegiance with Skull and Bones, that might or might not have homosexual practices. Regardless of them being a gay organization or not, that's the least of our worries. You know, the Boule is not a threat because of their gayness. It's because of their alignment with this organization, this secret society called the Cecil Rhodes Lord Rothschild Secret Society. So when people base their information on the internet research, it's too easy to put out misinformation.
It is.
You know,
quick question.
Sure.
Really quickly, I want to definitely go to the phone line, but I want I'm getting different instant messages, and so you kind of shared as far as we know the reason behind your mission to expose the Boule because there's so much misinformation and ignorance when it comes to it, and I'll definitely let you elaborate more on it. But before we even get into anything else, a lot of people don't even know what the Boule is or what does it stand for.
Right. Got
so
you.
if you can just elaborate on what it stands for, and then we'll go ahead and go to the phone lines.
Okay. Well, the Boule, like as I was mentioning, the Boule is their role is to their support group acting on behalf of this organization called the Rhodes Rothschild Secret Society. If you're familiar with Cecil Rhodes and Lloyd Rothschild, which I could talk about in a second, and basically they're basically the if you look at their history book. and I have a copy of the history book, and on page 28, which was written by Charles H. Wesley, he said that Henry Minton wanted to create an organization that would partake in the tenets of Skull and Bones at Yale. So the question is, who is Skull and Bones? And Skull and Bones is a chapter, is the second chapter of the Illuminati. The first chapter of the Illuminati was Phi Beta Kappa, but they were outed for being a secret society, and they had to go underground. And when they reemerged in 1832, they came out as Skull and Bones, and they were located at Yale. So in saying that, we have to first look at the origin of Skull and Bones. When you find out who Skull and Bones is, then you'll find out who the Boule is, because they're trying to emulate who Skull and Bones is. Okay?
Right.
So Skull and Bones, as I mentioned, Phi Beta Kappa was the first chapter, and it was founded at William & Mary College. You know, they were turning down there. Now when you hear about Phi Beta Kappa, they're an honor society. So the fraternity is still here, but it's an honor society. But the real chapter, the second chapter now, is at Yale, and it's in New Haven, Connecticut, which is also called New Heaven, or the City of Nine Squares. And in a September 1977 Esquire magazine article, there was a quote about Skull and Bones. It was one of the very few articles written about Skull and Bones, and it said that Skull and Bones' purpose is to produce an alliance of good men, for good men are rare in all societies, and none is more glorious nor greater strength than when men of similar morals are joined in intimacy.
Mm.
So we're talking about intimacy. We're talking about intimacy as far as, you know, what are men doing together that, you know, they're not doing with anyone else.
Right.
Some families that are members of Skull and Bones is Lord, Whitney, Taft, Harriman, Weyerhaeuser, Rockefeller, Goodyear, Phelps, Perkins, Pillsbury, Kellogg, Vanderbilt, Forbes, Dean Witter, Russell Davenport. These are, you know, John Deere. These are families that, you know, a lot of that have multi-billion-dollar corporations. Okay.
Right.
And the new members are called knights. So each member of the Skull and Bones is now called a knight, and this is referring to the Knights of the Round Table. Now, Charles H. Wesley, as I mentioned before, he wrote the history book. He's of the Boule. In this book, in the history book, it said the Round Table lives only in poetic life and history, but they can live again in life, and we can make them live through us. So what's the Round Table group?
Hold tight on the Round Table group, because what I want to do really quickly is take a really quick commercial break, and we'll come back and we'll go to the phone lines and we'll be right back. Hold tight, everybody.
Yo, shit, man, what up, son? Yo, where you been at, man? Yo, we need you, man. You gotta put out that knowledge. Get that street knowledge, please, man. You got that drug. I need my fix of that dope. Come on, man. Please, man. You got it, man. Come on, man.
Now we're ladies, gum drop, jelly beans. DMT, peyote, I know you feel me. P-Song is a natural trick to me. My rhymes are so vivid, you start to see things way different. American state, I was fast asleep, but now I'm wide awake. I was under the spell of King Gu and Reserve Note. Religion and fashion, I used to be flashy, till I had a total recall. Forgot what I already knew. It took me 33 years for me to see the truth. Never so clear, I was too young, I couldn't articulate myself the right way, son. But now, let me break it down, pass it all around. This is not a theory, the conspiracy is real. They wanna put me in a straight jacket in the padded room, tell the world of 12 monkeys so they can be confused.
What?
Illuminati want my mind, soul, and my body. Secret society, trying to keep their eye on me, but I'ma stay incognito in places they can't find me. Make my moves strategically. Illuminati want my mind, soul, and my body. Secret society, trying to keep their eye on me, but I'ma stay incognito in places they can't find me. Make my moves strategically. They say life is like chess, well fuck that, I'm tired playing games with some kids. Ain't no time for playing, set the rhymes the same. I write it for the streets, for the hood. Inspiration is 5A, part of the map. Where it's poverty, I started with them all, but now I got an army of soldiers and troopers. The TV and the radio scared to death of us, so we hit the YouTube up. Now I got millions of views. Now watch how many rappers follow what P do. Now I'm too hoodies to conform to the program. I'm too much of a rebel for me to try to fit in, nigga.
It don't matter the color of your skin. Right now, you either positive or you negative. I got friends in high places, multiple races, and coaches on my side. All you got is paper. Illuminati on my mind, soul, and my body. Secret society, trying to keep their eye on me. But I'ma stay incognito in places they can't find me. Make my moves strategically. Illuminati on my mind, soul, and my body. Secret society, trying to keep their eye on me. But I'ma stay incognito in places they can't find me. Make my moves strategically.
What's up? What's up? Welcome back to the eBuzz. This is your girl, Carla B. And if you're tuning in, the topic of for discussion tonight is the Boulé Files. Have a very, very special guest. And during the commercial break, I was actually practicing his name, Mwebe. Did I say that right? Oh, my
God.
Right. Okay,
right.
What's up?
So
before we get started again, I want to say a quote really quick that I found in regards to Jay-Z. I know we had did a couple of different shows in regards to hip hop and the Illuminati and Jay-Z being a part of it. So he had something to say to people who thought he was part of the Illuminati. The hip hop mogul is actually speaking out against those who have accused him of being affiliated with the secret society, and his words, they might hurt some. So if you're kind of timid at heart, you might want to mute your speakers right now. This is what JC said. He said, "It may sound a little arrogant, but I just think people can't handle when somebody else is successful." Jay-Z told Delta Sky magazine that he went on to say, "Something has got to be wrong. You got to be down with some high power. And I guess when someone else is successful, it makes you feel like maybe you're a failure. So it can't be you. It has to be some other force." And that's what Jay-Z had to say in regards to some Illuminati implications. I want to really quick, I want to go ahead and welcome someone that is chiming in. She's actually a radio personality under our network. She, Smoke a D from the Smooth Latte with Mocha D show. She's a big conspiracy theorist as well. Mocha D, you're live. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Carla B. Mocha D is definitely in the building and tuned well into the show. Like she stated, I'm very, very interested. First, I'd like to say hello to you, sir, and great topic and great discussion. I'm excited about it. I'm what they call the motor mouth, sir, so I'm going to just ask you a question or two, and then I'm going to let you, you know, dive right in. So first of all, again, I'd like to say welcome, welcome, welcome to my ears. I appreciate this.
Thank you.
Sir, I want to ask you, first real quickly, you had the acronym NAACP. You had said something a little different for the meaning of that than what I thought it was. if you would tell me that again. I think you did it on purpose.
Yes,
you did.
Okay, I'm quick. Okay, tell me about that, because I heard the change.
Yeah, it's called the National Association for the Advancement of Certain People, and I say that with reason. If I can tell you some things about the NAACP that many are not aware of. In particular, each member of the Boulé has to have a lifetime membership in the NAACP, and most people think that it was founded by, like, you know, W.E.B. Du Bois and Ida B. Wells. This is not true. They were actually founded by two Jewish spies, Rabbi Stephen Wise and Jane Addams. And these two are affiliated with the Round Table Group, which was founded by Cecil Rhodes, which I hope I have a moment to talk about the Round Table Group. But there's some key things about the NAACP that people aren't aware of, in particular with the anti-lynching bill, which was also called the Dyer Bill in 1918, and also a figure, R.R. Moulton, and their key influence against the Garvey movement of the 1920s and 30s. Number one, with the anti-lynching bill, It was put out in 1918, but it really actually wasn't passed until 1959. It was passed January 26, 1922, but it really wasn't honored until 1959. And come to find out that over that 50-year span, the NAACP, in exchange for this bill, had to freely trade black intelligence with the United States government. Now, the thing is that the NAACP was founded by these two spies and another guy named Joel Spingarn, who was a spy for the United States Army, who later in 1914 created the Spingarn Medal. This is an NAACP award that goes out to the Negro for the most outstanding achievement. So you have all these spies that are finding this organization that's supposed to be for African people, primarily to save us from lynchings. When we look at the winners, some of the winners that have won the Spingarn Medal, the first winner was Ernest E. Just, who was in the Boulé. W.B. Du Bois won it in 1920. He's in the Boulé. Carter G. Woodson in 1926 won it. He's in the Boulé. Martin Luther King won it in 1957. He was in the Boulé. And Jesse Jackson won it in 1989, and he was in the Boulé. Now, what we find is that the NAACP is a house or one of the organizations that is actually a spy network. If you've ever heard of J. Edgar Hoover, talked about how he was in search of his COINTELPRO program was modified or basically modeled off of the search for the next black messiah, who basically would, you know, rise up against global white supremacy and United States government operations. Well, in order for, the government to be effective in their surveillance, they really couldn't have, you know, white folks coming into a setting where there was a bunch of black folks. So, for instance, if, you know, you couldn't have a white person trying to get into a Nation of Islam meeting. That wouldn't work. So they had to get blacks that would, you know, willingly do the deed and report back to the NAACP, and then who would then report back to the United States government, on up to the Illuminati, about any uprisings or any discussions of black people trying to do something for self-reliance and basically break ourselves from what's going on against global white supremacy. There's another thing that I found out with the NAACP, some of the members, as I was saying before, each member of the Boulé has to have a lifetime membership to the NAACP, is R.R. Moton is a particular guy that he was actually predates Martin Luther King. He was a guy, and let me just say this real quick, too. There's a lot of information about this, so it's really hard to fit it into an hour and a half, 2 hour show. All this information that I'm speaking to you about in detail is on my website, so I'm going to jump here and there, and I apologize for that. But for clarity and further research, I would like for you to feel free to use my site as one of those places where you can get some more of this information.
Quick question for you,
sure.
Since we're talking about information, and I just got a message from someone who wants to know where have you, gotten all of your information? You know, I mean, where has your research been from, I guess?
Well, my foundation is the work of Steve Coakley, and I don't take just what someone says for verbatim. You know, I don't like to regurgitate words. I like to go find it myself. So he lays a foundation. If you even Google or YouTube Steve Coakley, there are clips of him online doing presentations. I've been to several of his lectures over the years, sat front row and taking notes. He's very good at both giving you resources, and I use those notes to go and look the information up myself.
Okay.
And to verify it. And I provide the same kind of information on my site. So, again, you know, it's one thing to say something. If this is something that interests you, you know, the information is public. That's the one
right.
thing. It's in the place they don't want us to go to is the library.
Right.
Getting on the Internet is not going to get it done because anybody can say anything and no one's there to check you. But going to the library, if you check out if you read Forbes 500 magazine, you can get lists of names of people that are part of these secret societies, and their information, their books are public. You can look up anything you want. It's available. That's the one thing about global white supremacists, that they gloat in their supremacy. They're not trying to hide it from you. They just know that they can put it right in your face or in a book, and you won't even know what you're looking at.
Right.
So that's one thing I like to put out. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, you know what, and it's amazing. And when you talk about the white supremacy, that has been going on since the beginning of time. The devil himself, for those who believe, brag about what they do, you know, because the bottom line is they don't believe you. No one can do anything about it.
Exactly.
Because they know, even, you know, the man himself knows that he has a certain amount of time to do something. And it's just a matter of time before it's all going to be like you're doing, being exposed. So they're doing all they can right now in a certain amount of time. But I want to ask you real quick about the round table group,
mm-hmm.
about the round table group, because I've spoken of the round table group before, and I used it without having a lot of details, and you're the only one I really heard talking about the round table group. So tell me a little bit more about the round table group, and I want to see if it collaborates with what I believe as far as the round table group, because I personally believe that this is where the presidential decision is made. This is where so many things is made already, such as the president of today. This is something that's a well sought out plan, and a lot of people don't agree with me, and, you know, hey, I don't care. But tell me about what I want to know your opinion as far even if you can dab into it real quickly, the president himself, because I have a lot of things that I can say, and I know there's only so much that we can say anyway, but I just want to know quickly, do you believe, just if you can just answer this, do you believe that that was a well-sought-out plan a long time ago? I'm talking about all the way back to, I want to go as far, I'll say Roosevelt, as to when, where, and how this black man would be put in office at this given day and time. What do you feel about that?
One thing is that I used to be really like a conspiracy nut, and then I realized that about what 1995-96, I started to learn that there was conspiracies on conspiracies, conspiracies that have become a multi-billion-dollar topic. You know, there's tons of books, tons of researches, lectures, and so on and so forth. That's not to say that I don't agree with any of that information. I still look at it, and I dissect it and take in what I need. Regarding Obama, regarding what's going on with, as you mentioned, the Roundtable Group, yes, they are part of that think tank of people, that unseen scene, that 1% of 1%, that Bilderberg Group, that the Committee of 300, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Imperial Brain Trust, the Trilaterists, and the Invisible Government. These are men, old white men, old rich white families that have stolen their, made money off of the enslavement of, primarily the enslavement of African people, and are, you know, fighting tooth and nail to this day to do whatever they can to maintain their power, even if they have to change the color of their skin. They'll do that.
Ooh.
The Roundtable Group is a secret society that was started by Cecil Rhodes and Lord Rothschilds in 1881 at Oxford University. And this was started with money gained from the colonization of South Africa. You know, they basically felt that Britain was better at ruling the entire world. So there's a guy named Charles, author named Charles Overbeck. He said that the more free trade you have, the more difficult you will make it for new countries of Africa and Asia to set up and rule themselves, and they will be forced to live in economic isolation. So Rhodes and Rothschilds, along with Rockefellers and Oppenheimer, who basically inherited his wealth from Rhodes, control the world. And I'll tell you who owns particularly what areas of the world. Rothschild is responsible for Europe. You have the Bank of England. The Rockefeller family or the clan is responsible for North and South America, Canada, and Mexico. They have like Chase, Exxon, Mobil Oil, and actually they're the current kings of New York. Oppenheimer, again, getting his inheriting it from Cecil Rhodes, is in control of Australia, Africa, and the rest of the world. So he also has control of the Beers Mining Company and Oppenheimer Funds. If you're familiar with, well, most people aren't even familiar with who these guys are. So Cecil Rhodes, well, number one, he was a pedophile. Okay, he would take young African male boys and basically sodomize them and then throw them over a cliff so that he wouldn't sodomize the same boy twice. They went down to the South Africa, the diamond mines, and today they've created their billion-trillion-dollar corporations, namely one, the Beers Mining Company. If you've ever seen the commercial, there's a silhouette of a lady and they're playing violins in the background. That the Beers Mining Company, that money is made from Oppenheimer, again inherited from Cecil Rhodes. So another key guy is Lord Mayor Amschel Rothschild. Now, Rothschild, he was famous for, he founded the famous banking firm in the 1700s, and he's the one that started the power of loaning with interest. And he felt the best way to earn money was to lend to governments. So this, in doing that, would enable them to dictate and take over governments. Example is like South Africa and Palestine. He actually funded the American Revolution. He aided George Washington in funding the American Revolution and told him, "I don't care who runs the country, I want to run the money." So this money that is where they've gotten all this wealth from has been basically galvanized from the enslavement of African people. So this is what we're finding, is that these men, going back to the 1600s, that basically, well, Cecil Rhodes also said he wanted to colonize Africa from Cairo to Cape Town. So we're talking about pirates. We're talking about, these aren't great men. These are great mass, these are serial killers, these are murderers, and these are people that are now being, to this day, being honored. Cecil Rhodes, we have Rhodes Scholar. We also had Rhode Island, and you know, so we have things that are named after him. It used to be called Zimbabwe. Used to be called Rhodesia. You know what I'm saying? So the Cecil Rhodes Scholar is, you know, 75 scholarships awarded yearly to people from ages 18 to 24, and Cecil Rhodes' mindset was to colonize Africans and then re-educate them.
Wow, this is definitely some great information that you're sharing with us tonight. I definitely appreciate it. I want to kind of like go back a little bit to something at the top of the hour. We're talking about Obama not being Boule, and in order to be Boule, the requirement. So we do know that they have to be in like a graduate organization. So considering Obama went to Harvard and he did pledge a fraternity, but with Harvard, with him going to Harvard, and would he be still be considered like skull and bones, or no?
I found the only thing I really found him connected to is the Council on Foreign Relations. And from what I know, and I'm not a guru of this information of Boule. I'm a student. I'm learning stuff every day.
Okay.
But what I found about the Boule is that not only do you have to be in a fraternity, but you must be part of the Black fraternity, the BGLO, the Black Lettered Organization.
Right.
So you have to be either an Alpha, a Kappa, a Sigma, or a Q.
Right.
So I'm not aware of any that are members of white fraternities or Jewish fraternities that are also in the Boule, although they do have now white members.
Right. So, I mean, he could be part of the Skull and Bones and pledge like Kalpha, Alpha, Psi, correct or no?
Well, Skull and Bones is he'd have to go to Yale, and and that's only at Yale.
Oh,
and yeah, so it's either if he went to Yale and he got tapped, they only tapped 15 people to make a line, and if you did not go to Yale, then you're not in Skull and Bones. That's not to say that you can't be part. He is part of the Bilderberg group now, because every president attends the Bilderberg meetings every year. I think it's every summer in July, I believe. And there's some serious, allegedly there's some crazy kind of rituals that go on with this larger-than-life white owl that you can also find on a dollar bill.
Right. I was going to get to that. I was going to see what your thoughts were behind it, because a lot of people, they've heard of that, but they don't even know what, you know, when you say the Bilderberg group. So can you elaborate on that a little bit?
The Bilderberg group is kind of like it's also a think tank. And, you know, I actually didn't prepare to talk about the Bilderberg group because I wanted to focus in on Skull and Bones. But from what I remember about the Bilderberg group is basically this is the thing about the presidents. It's not something that, you know, and this is what was kind of confusing me about where did Obama come from, because they groom presidents from basically children. So they go to the same schools. You know, they bring them up and groom them up. And the Boule does similar things in the forms of you have Jack and Jill, you have En-ROADS, you have the Battalion. These are organizations that monitor you. They have organizations like Knights of Pythagoras. These are youth organizations where they start weeding you out and molding you into being, quote-unquote, leaders of the world, you know, as a child. So So the Bilderberg Group is just another one of those organizations that are affiliates of global white supremacy. I can't really say that there's one top organization other than, I would say, Skull and Bones. But, again, there's so many other tiers of – and this is the thing about it, when you bring in masonry, if you can imagine a circle with circles inside circles, the outer circle is the front line, and they believe that they know the most information. So, for instance, a person that is becoming a mason, their first – I think it's – well, basically from degrees 1 to 30, you're misled. And then when you get to degree 31, then you start being taught – the truth, and the truth is that African men and women are basically the creators of civilization. But up to – so if you ever have a discussion with a Mason and they're not a 30 or 33rd degree Mason, they're purposely being lied to, and actually they think that they know everything that they need to know. But as you start going to each tier closer to the circle of that unseen scene, each organization doesn't even know there's another level.
Right.
Or each, so when you, if you're on the outer level, you don't even know you're on the outer level. You're thinking you're at the highest of the high, but then if you're worthy, if they think you're worthy, they'll bring you into another higher level. So you may join another organization, or you may get a certain degree, so on and so forth. So it's a big game, but I guess it's also a weed-out process, you know
wow.
what I mean, because they're looking for the best of the best to maintain this mentality of global white supremacy.
Right. Mocha D, were you, I think I cut you off or something. Were you saying something?
Well, no, you didn't cut me off. It's just amazing. And, you know, what you call a big game is a very serious and a deadly game. And at the end of the game, it's your soul. Basically, at the end of the game, it's your soul. And many of them have made hell of a sacrifices. Even with the Masons, I've just happened to be blessed to know someone particularly 104 years old, and they came and talked to him like monthly. To basically took him in a room. Basically, well, I was working at a particular place because I work with Alzheimer's and people, you know, with dementia and stuff like that. And he shared quite a few things with me, and I'm not going to get into any names, of course. Actually, he's deceased. He's deceased, right? He's gone. But still, in all, it's not a game at all. As far
right.
as the place where you were talking about, as far as being nominated, already chosen as a president as a child, these are facts. It's not so much as a child. It's so much as, like I was telling you before, it's generations chosen generations ago, prepped generations ago. And it's very serious. It's very serious. That table that you were referring to, that's done in Northern California, and it's very.
What are you talking about? Which one, OPD?
When he was referring to
the Bilderberg Group,
clubs, the clubs and different things like that. He was talking
okay.
to the Bilderberg and all those things. This is directly connected with, you know, the Bohemian Owl is the owl that you're referring to. It's connected to that, where they choose everything. You have to be of the high elite. And Jay-Z can pretend he's there or whatever. He's not. He couldn't possibly be. He doesn't have enough money to be there. All the money that he has is not enough money.
He's not the skin, right skin complexion. He doesn't have the right skin complexion.
Well,
I didn't mean
to cut
you off.
No. It's okay. It's amazing that all these young people are going around wearing these skull and bones and have no idea what they were allowing to happen. It's simply with the piercing itself, the piercing, the tattoos. This is no joke. They have no idea what they're representing and what they're doing. And I think it's a sad time
right.
to be in now.
Yes.
If I may add. There's a mentality that we have to understand the type of people we're dealing with, okay, and I'm speaking primarily about the Caucasian, right? Their mentality is they one of the degrees of the Illuminati is called it's called a Regent degree in Illuminism, right? And this degree, they'll ask one that's pledging, they'll ask them a question, and the question is they'll see three skeletons, right? They'll see a skeleton of a king, a nobleman, and a beggar, right? And they'll ask you, you know, basically to tell you which one was what. and the person, the pledgee, has to sit there and looking at three skulls and choose which one was what, and obviously they can't. And the answer is basically, you know, you can't tell because once you're dead, you're dead. Their mentality is live now. Have everything that you can have right now. And there's something about the Bilderberg group that's interesting because I mentioned about the 20-foot owl is that it's a mythical Roman goddess. It's basically a representation of a symbol representation of the mythical Roman goddess of wisdom, Minerva. And Minerva is also on one of the sorority, black sororities shields, which is Delta Sigma Theta. But basically, it's Minerva is actually a carbon copy, or as I mentioned earlier, George G.M. James said that African history is, Egyptian mythology is stolen African history, is that actually Minerva is a carbon copy or a pirated version of the African goddess of wisdom, Neit or Nut. And this is the same owl that you find on the corner, upper left-hand corner of the dollar bill. So there's symbolism. This is the thing about this is what makes me interested about conspiracies is that the information that they're using to promote their power, our ancestors, our people. First, I don't want to talk so much about how bad these people are. Let's talk about how great we were or are or have the potential to be again. As our people come from, you know, the originators, okay? We were, we studied 360 degrees of knowledge holistically. Of that 360 degrees, the white man can only correspond to 33 of it. But of that 33% they've used in degrees, they've been able to use that to master the world. Okay? So if we would tap into understanding our true heritage, our true story, all they've done is taken our information and just flipped it. Just as when they, it's hard to find the origin of something when they change the name of something. It's the same model, it's the same symbol, it's the same ideology, but they change a little bit by changing the name. If you look at, like, the origin of African people, especially in America, they got rid of our names and gave us new names, so it made it hard for us to trace ourselves back to what particular part of Africa we come from. This is strategic. This isn't done by happenstance. When you're studying global white supremacy, you can't believe in coincidence. Coincidence is not, it's a non-factor. So in order for them to maintain their power, they take our information, they use what little they understand of it and flipped it enough to also conceal the true definition of it. But behind closed doors, they're giving paying homage to us. When you look at the Pope, and the Virgin of the Black Madonna that you see is which is oxymoronic, a very dark skinned black woman with European features. There's no such thing. But when you look into the cellar, you go into the cellar of the cathedral, which you'll find the true African version of the Madonna and Child, which is nothing but an upgraded version of Osar and Aset and Heru, which is the original Trinity from Kemet. So I'm saying this to say that it's one thing to study global white supremacy and conspiracies, but what good is that if you don't understand what the conspiracies are for? The conspiracy is to keep you from knowing your true self and your true history, for they know it. And if you know it, then you have no use for them.
Right, right. And with that, I wanna really quick, Mokadi, 1 second. I want to go to a different something different, considering we're into our last hour. There's a lot on your website that really breaks down as to why the boule was even created, and then the the W.E.B. Du Bois and his part in the whole boule. And we actually had a blog on it, and so I definitely wanted to hear what you had to say in regards to the boule and W.E.B. Du Bois.
Okay. In particular, I actually wrote an article, part three of the boule series, Dying with Secrets, is I'm actually taking W.B. Du Bois and Carter G. Woodson, and I'm comparing them to George D.M. James. George D.M. James wrote the book Stolen Legacy. It was published in 1954. Shortly thereafter, he disappeared, and eventually it was found that he died a mysterious death. Allegedly, he was cut from ear to ear, and his tongue was cut off. Him being a Mason, a 33-degree master Mason, it's alleged that if you told secrets, you would be killed. In fact, in some of their rituals and their degrees, they have to pledge to not reveal what they know, and the penalty being death. Okay. Now, the difference here with W.B. Du Bois